Hey, what's up, good people? It's Jay Ray, the co-host of Q Points, and I wanted to come to you because there are two really important ways that you can support our show. One is by subscribing to it wherever you listen to or watch your podcasts. Q Points is pretty much everywhere. The other thing that you can do is you can visit us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and on Podchaser, and you can leave us a star rating. Please rate us 5 stars because you know you love Q Points. And on Apple Podcasts and on Podchaser, you can actually leave us a written review. It's not required, but it really does help to spread the word about the show, and it helps people to discover it as they're looking for new podcasts to listen to. We're always appreciative of you supporting Q Points. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us so far, and enjoy the show.
Hey, what's the 411 fam? Welcome back. I am DJ Sir Daniel.
And my name is Jay Ray, also known by my government as Johnny Ray Cornegay the Third. What's happening, good people?
Welcome to another episode of Q Points, your safe space for meaningful dialogue around Black music and Black creatives and all the people in between that love. Jay Ray, what's good? How have you been this week?
Listen, this week is golden, like checking a lot of stuff off some boxes. I'm excited about tonight's show. It's just been a good week coming off of Mother's Day, which was this past Sunday. Got a chance to spend some time with family, which was really, really cool, and it energized my week. Even the Rocky stuff, I've made it through. How about yourself? How are you?
You know what? I can the same ditto, like even though Mercury is in reverse cowgirl right now and is, you know, doing the most sometimes. It has really just been a wave that I've decided to ride. And so far, everything has been absolutely fantastic. Like you, I am excited about tonight's show. Wow, we have got a lot. We've got, what, over 30 years of music to discuss, of legacy, of moments, some hiccups, but a lot of good times. And I'm super duper excited, and I'm excited because it's not just going to be the two of us. There'll be three for dinner tonight.
Absolutely. So, y'all, we have a special guest. Joining us tonight is Adrian. Adrian is a podcast newbie and conversationalist. He is on the doorstep of 40, questioning everything about himself and hoping to find answers through interacting with others. And before we bring him on, just so y'all know, he is also a songwriter. We have an interview with him. If you're a Q Points insider, you could go and watch it, where he talks about writing the song I Wasn't Kidding for Angie Stone with Andrea Martin. And welcome to Q Points, finally, Adrian.
Hey, you know, I brought my plate. What we cooking tonight? What we cooking?
We are cooking up,
you know,
we're cooking up boots and furs and a whole dancery. Listen, and absolutely. I was about to say, Jay Ray, I cannot listen to I Wasn't Kidding anymore without thinking about Adrian.
Yep.
I cannot.
Aww. That means a lot to me. Listen. That means a lot to me.
Adrian.
That is absolutely a fun song.
Yes. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing really well, actually. It's been a busy week, but this is a conversation that I've been looking forward to. So I am riding the good clouds of excitement. And, you know, I have my ticket into the dancery today. So
I know that's right.
Getting into it. Absolutely. I think, like, I was gonna say, this conversation, I basically bombarded this conversation. Like, I told Jay Ray this conversation could not be had without me. I was like, what's on the calendar? Yes, that one right there.
And to that point, okay, Adrian, so I get a chance to work with you every day You have a new podcast, Adrienne's Playlist of Conversations. Tell us all about it.
Adrienne's Playlist of Conversations is, it's like a personal diary, but also conversations that I'm having with friends and family about different topics. It's something that I've been thinking about for years, because I love podcasts, but oftentimes I feel as though what is being offered is, you know, like the gossip, the funny, which I love, or this very highbrow political conversation where they always have like experts. And I feel like we're all experts in living. We're all experts in humanity. And so I have been blessed and honored to interact and have experienced so many different types of people from different walks of life. You know, I'm a person that grew up on Section 8 food stamps before the EBT card. And, you know, now I was like, should I get this first class ticket? Not bragging, just, you know, thankful of sort of my transient nature in life. So because of that, I just met different people, and I wanted to expand the conversation of what brown people is centered around people of color, what we talk about, but also explore, you know, like I said, I'm on the doorstep of 40. That's coming up in a couple of months, and explore like how I got to where I am and connect with my tribe in a different way.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited for all of our listeners to get to know you this evening. Before we get into the main dish, the main topic, there's just a couple things leading up to this topic that we just kind of want to explore. First, I mean, the reason why we're discussing Mary tonight is because, of course, this weekend she is being honored by Billboard for the Icon Award, which is very apropos. But they also made a post this week posting some accolades for some artists over the past few decades. Every act in history with 10 number ones on the Hot 100. And to J. Ray's point, there's a lot of Black excellence on this list.
I mean, take a look at this, y'all. I mean, so Mariah, Rihanna, Michael Jackson, The Supremes, Whitney Houston, Drake, Janet, Stevie. And if we really want to keep it, so Sir Daniel pointed out something really interesting. The fifth Beatles, a Black man, Billy Preston. And Madonna owes her career to Black producers. Mm-hmm. So really the acts in history with 10 or more number ones were all impacted, are either Black or impacted by Black people working with them. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have questions.
It's not crazy, but go ahead. What are the questions?
No, I have questions because I'm looking at this list. I'm like, oh, okay, Rihanna, you know, sorry. Side note, I get so annoyed when people say their name is a certain way, and then 15 years later, it's like, actually, it's this. Fine. Rihanna and Drake, because I'm like, are these solo number ones? Because I feel as though I would like to know how many songs did Rihanna hold and carry by herself that went to number one. And the same thing with Sleepy, I'll Be Sure of Rap. Drake.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I don't know. So folks know, definitely chime in, because I'm not sure. Yeah. It's a good question.
And that was a very nice way of describing Drake. A very age-appropriate way of describing Drake. So all of you who don't know who I'll Be Sure is, go ahead and look up I'll Be Sure. Please do.
And a cute again, little yellow bone.
And again, we're talking about all these, you know, these artists who impact the Billboard Top 100, Billboard charts, and how Blackness is being celebrated. Let's go to another topic where Blackness is being, how do we say this? Mm-mm. Not celebrated, but tolerated. Mm-mm. Okay, I have 2 points about this whole thing that I'm just going to say, get out the way, and I'm not going to say it no more. My first point regarding this incident, and it's not just him. We're not going to make him the whipping boy. Mm-hmm. But he's the most recent person to flub on a national level like this. If you are a non-Black person performing Blackness, know your history. please know your history. And my second point, I don't buy into this notion that because you're a certain age, oh, well, I was born in 2000. I wouldn't know any of this stuff. I don't buy that. I do not buy that. You have a whole internet. You have a whole catalog of music and information at your fingertips day by day. I don't buy that because when I was 7 years old, I was watching black and white movies featuring, you know, Lena Horne. I knew who the Pearl Bailey, I knew who those people were. I had references. I sought out references. I listened to different things. I'm just not buying this selective ignorance. And it's not just white people. There are plenty of performers who are black, plenty of people who are black, who are a certain age group that are using this this excuse that because they were born in a certain era, that everything that happened prior to them being born just doesn't exist to them. And I just don't buy it. Learn what this music, this industry, this artistry, this culture, learn what it's built on, especially if you want to be an active participant in it. And that's it. That's all
In the situation that you're speaking on, or the flub is him not knowing the 23andMe of Brandy Norwood, right? Correct. And yes. Okay, so to piggyback off of that, know your history, but also know your place, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. if someone asks you a question that you are just, you don't know, you know, when I was in church choir and someone was singing the wrong note next to me, I'm like, you can't be strong and wrong. When in doubt, fade out, right? That's what we would always say. When in doubt, fade out. So he should have taken this opportunity to be like, that's not my business. Mm-hmm. I mind the business that pays me. That's not paying me. But, you know, I have a question. Would you rather have him or Post Malone?
Ooh.
I'd rather have Jesus.
I'm going to fade out.
Absolutely. See, right. I'd rather be blind, Etta James, right? Blind and deaf. I'd rather be blind and deaf. Yeah, but I also think it's, like you said, it's just not white rappers or performers. I find the music to be incredibly lazy. Mm-hmm. And I find the listeners to be lazy. Like, it's just like they just want to churn something out, and they don't know the history. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how can you not know the original sample? Mm-hmm. You know, I think I was on TikTok and someone was saying how Anaconda, they were thinking that's the original. And it's like, I'm sorry, what? Like, uh-huh. No, the original, because the original was actually much better than what she did.
So to also kind of piggyback on this. So we are talking about Jack Harlow appearing on Hot 97, them playing Angel in Disguise by Brandy, and he didn't recognize Angel in Disguise. And for me, I was absolutely like, I can kind of get that. I can kind of get it. Now, where he lost me was when Brandy's voice came in, and I'm like, okay, now I'm not with you no more, because her voice is actually distinct, and mm-hmm. you are old enough to know who Brandy is, right? So there's that. And then, but the other piece of it is, I it's hard to not know that Brandy and Ray J are siblings. Like, I don't know how you don't know that. And in particular, if you're going to be involved in this culture, you just have to know. And so this was a weird moment.
Didn't Little Kim say it? Wait a minute. Absolutely. Like, yo, ain't that Brandy's little brother? Yes. Like, it is a recorded. Like, it's on wax.
I quite honestly, I thought I was going to be done, but I just want them to stop playing in our faces. Stop playing in our faces, because here's the thing. This young man really got on mm-hmm. a coattail Lil Nas
X. Absolutely. We wouldn't know who he was.
If we're going to keep it a buck, I didn't know who he was until the whole performance with Lil Nas X, and Lil Nas X gave him an alley-oop. Mm-hmm. He did what he was supposed to do. He worked his connection, and now he and now we're here. I get it, but that this is indicative of things that have been happening for centuries. Like, you get the cosign, you get the black cosign, you know, you call us for black up when you need us. You get that, you get put on, but then there's this, I don't know, then there's this thing where you turn around and then you start wearing three-piece suits. You get carried, you're at the Kentucky Derby
getting carried by two black men.
And then next thing you know, you're performing with Tony Bennett because you don't do that rap stuff anymore. You know, you don't do that jungle music anymore. Now, because you're a class artist now. I'm tired of playing in our faces. We're talking about all of them.
We just looped them all in.
Why don't we just stop inviting them into our radio stations, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why? Like, we don't have to say this is black music. We could say, oh, this is its own genre. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, this is, you know, sort of.
But Adrian, you have to tell your cousins Africana. To stop. You have to tell your cousins to stop, like, opening up the cookout to every and anybody. That knows how to be chucked up by. It's not.
Listen, if you knew my cousins, they weren't opening up nothing.
If learning how to do the cha-cha slide does not get you a pass into the cookout, it just doesn't. I'm sorry.
It does not. So
no. There's other tests. Like there's other litmus tests we can do, right? Like spades. What is your hierarchy? Are you a two of diamonds, two of spades, big joker, little joker, or do you start with the big joker? Also, the electric slide. Where do you position yourself when there is a group electric slide? Are you in the front, the middle, or the back? The left or the right? It does matter.
I live for it. Listen, y'all. And really quick, before we jump into our main topic, because we do want to spend some time on that. Kendrick's back. Shout out. Kendrick Lamar dropped.
Praise him.
Listen, just a beautiful art piece. He's just incredibly talented lyrically. And so we just wanted to send a little love to Kendrick Lamar for him being kind of back and getting ready for the record to come out. Which we might get real soon. It might be tomorrow. So waiting for that.
Yes.
Shout out to that young man. I appreciate him and everything he does. It's always an event. Mm-hmm. It's always something to make you think. It's art. It's definitely art. Mm-hmm. So I'm here for it.
It is. I was in a discussion with someone and someone's like, oh, he's more a poet than a rapper. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. Still amazing. Yeah. You know, I was like, oh, fresh a breath air. When he morphed into Kanye mess, I was like, ooh,
yeah,
keep that girl. Yeah. But also, like, I love the cover of it with the different hands because mm-hmm. they are the hands of the people. Mm-hmm. That video was on loop when it came out.
Yeah.
I love him. Yeah. I'm excited for him.
Ooh. So here we go, y'all. It's time.
It's time. Are y'all ready for the dancery?
Yes, honey.
So Mary J. Blige.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
Do it.
No, you do it. I want to hear you do it. I want you to do that again, but properly.
We are tonight, folks. We are talking about Mary J. Blige.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I got him to do it, y'all. I got him to do it.
Shout out to Deborah Wilson. Shout out to Deborah Wilson. Adrian, I'm going to kick this to you first, right, to bring us in to this conversation. So let's take a step back. We wanted to have this conversation because Mary is being honored with the Billboard Awards Icon Award Sunday, and wanted to just kind of spend some time reflecting on her career a bit. And the first question that we thought of is, when did we first fall in love with Mary? So when was that for you, Adrian?
I first fell in love with a double Academy Award nominated actress and songwriter, Mary Jane Blige. I'm going to say like 1991, 92. Mm-hmm. So that is giving me like 9, 10 years old. And I remember hearing like You Remind Me on the radio. I think the first video I saw of hers was Real Love. But and it was playing in Topeka, Kansas. I remember that's the summer that Taco Tico, which is this like Mexican takeout place, had their Taco Supreme and large drink for like $1.29. I'm aging myself. and I just was like, who is this singer? Like, I was obsessed with Whitney. I was obsessed with, like, good vocals. Not saying that Mary doesn't have good vocals, but, you know, she's gotten better. But I thought this was great. It was a new sound. I just hadn't seen someone like that before. She looked like my cousins, my older female cousins. And I remember getting the cassette tape. And the first track of What's the 411 is like Leave a Message, mm-hmm. which I want to incorporate in my podcast. But then she leads with a song. I'll talk about that later. And those first notes of the first vocal track on that album got me immediately. Mm-hmm. And I was a stan for a very long time. She was actually my first concert. it was the My Life tour. I think I was, 12. And my brother was also young. And my father just, you know, dropped us off at the concert in Kansas City by ourselves, no mm-hmm. supervision. And we loved that concert.
Yep.
So yeah, that's when I became a stan.
Yeah.
So vividly, I remember standing at the Brockett Road bus stop in Clarkston, Georgia, with my cousin, who at the time may have been 12, and our youngest cousin, who at the time may have been 2 years old. They were in town visiting, and we were just getting on the bus, and we were going to go ride MARTA into town just to see the sights. And I remember specifically this Toyota Tercel pulling up in front of us at the red light, and they were stopped in front of us. And I just remember hearing the top billing beat, mm-hmm. but not the top billing beat was also interpolated with a chord, these keyboards, and I just remember thinking, it sounded familiar, and I just was intrigued, like, what's happening here? Who is that? And then before I could hear the first note, they pulled off. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so after that, I became obsessed. I wanted to find out what was this? Because so back in the day, of course, you know, if a song was brand new and they hadn't released the actual cassette, single or album, you had to wait until you could hear it on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being stuck by the radio trying to hear the song again. And finally, I was like, oh, that's who that is. Because I remember Mary from the You Remind Me video. Mm-hmm. And I liked that song because I recognized the beat from the Public Enemy song yeah. that was under that for that remix. And so I just remember becoming obsessed with like the whole swagger of, because at that time, you know, I'm a junior in high school, so fashion is everything. Mm-hmm. I became obsessed with the whole merging of her tomboyness with, you know, her girliness. And then she had these walkerwear outfits. You know, all the black labels, the walkerwears, the Carl Kanais, she was rocking all of that stuff. And then it was like, oh, I could fit my jeans into these boots. And it just became a whole, she just encompassed everything that a teenager would be obsessed with. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, from that moment on, it was love at first sight, no pun intended. From that point on, it was just there. It was like, Mary was just a part of my life from that moment that the Toyota Tercel pulled up in front of me.
Wow. Hmm. Wow. So I remember. So it was definitely You Remind Me was the thing that sold me. Not knowing that I had, of course, heard her voice before, because I was a huge fan of the Father MC joint. I was like a huge fan of that song, but I don't know if I remembered the particulars of the liner notes, because I'm sure I had looked at them, right? But You Remind Me, there were folks who'd done hip hop and R&B kind of merges before. This felt different. Like, it felt different. Like, I felt like You Remind Me was like the perfect marriage of what like a hip hop beat would be. Like, you could nod your head to it. And then it was like, right hook, right lyrics, and it was cute. And so I remember that particular song really just like, I fell in love with it. I thought it was sonically one of the most beautiful things I had heard up until that point, because I think it combined everything that I loved about R&B and hip hop, but not really realizing that they could exist in that way in the same space. And by the time I got the What's the 411 album, hearing that Leave a Message was so key, because I'm hearing rappers, I'm hearing like Busta Rhymes on there. You're hearing like all of these rappers that I was looking up to on the Leave a Message. And I'm like, oh snap. So like, rappers listen to R, like it wasn't a concept, like, oh, so rappers listen to like R&B. Like, and it did something. So I fell in love that first record. And Adrian, I think we share a moment, because you get from Leave a Message to that first song, and it was like, oh my God, more of this.
Yeah.
And can we please make space for Chucky Thompson and Prince Marky D, for
Kenny Green, all of
them. If we want to talk about Real Love, just the crafting, I think that's like a textbook lesson on structuring a song. Like, it's simplicity, but there's something gorgeous in the simplicity of the way that song is structured, because everybody at any age could sing that song. Mm-hmm. And it sticks with you. So I think it's time, Jay. Go
ahead, Adrian.
It's also, so a few things, what's interesting about Mary, as you were talking, Jay Ray, is sometimes when you're listening to her song, you feel as though someone rapped on the song, but there was no rap verse, right? Like, that's how hip hop these songs sounded like. And also, you know, she sampled a lot, you know, she, you know, her and Whitney were the cover queens. However, it's interesting. I don't think there is an artist right now that could ever cover a Mary song. Ooh. Right? When they, like, it would be interesting if there's people who do a tribute to her on Billboard, like, they, if she's not the one doing her own medley, like, who would they choose to perform those songs? Because I don't think that anyone really has that depth. And I'm not saying that she hits the notes. I'm just saying there is a depth and there is a soul there that I feel like a lot of these current artists lack.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lived experience that hasn't happened that won't translate into the songs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Like, Keisha Cole came out like, oh, this is the new Mary. And it was like, oh, but she's not.
Right.
Not quite.
And I get why people were there. Like, there's that quality to it, but it's not the same. But we're gonna ponder this question, because I feel like this needs to be a whole thing. Like, who would be on our Mary tribute list from the new school? Mm-hmm. So but we are going to the chalkboard, because you know how we do.
Okay.
We over here at the chalkboard. Listen, so for those who are listening, we are going to talk about our 9 essential Mary J. Blige joints. So we're going to do our number one. And so if we could each do we'll do a song. They're not in any particular order, but we'll each do one song and why it's an essential. So if we could just make sure that we're succinct and we're sharing with the people what the joint is. If you know where, we probably all do know where it came from, if it was an album or a single, and then why it's essential. So where we want to start, Sir Daniel, where we want to start?
We have a guest.
Yes.
So let's give it to our guest first. Adrian, your first pick?
I mean, if y'all keep treating me like this, I'm going to come back for seconds.
Yeah.
So my first pick is Reminisce. We already talked about it. That's the first full vocal track on What's the 411, just those first notes, how she comes in. And from the, I love every artist. I love seeing what song they start out with in their career, or the songs they start out with. And this is like a perfect song. It blends jazz, it blends hip hop, it blends soul. Like this is a marker. The song is timeless. It is brilliant, beautiful. It's essential. Yes.
Sir Daniel, why don't you go ahead and then I'll jump in at the end.
Alrighty. Okay, so my first pick is Changes I've Been Going Through. This song is essential because it is a perfect example of how you can take two things that you can take chocolate and peanut butter and bring them together and make a Reese's cup, and it's delicious. Changes I've Been Going Through is backed by Biz Markie's Make the Music With Your Mouth. And then you have this very, very sad narrative of Changes I've Been Going Through, the lyrics, the chords. It's a very sad song. There's a meme, there's a gif of a young man who is dancing, doing something, like I think he's doing the Millie Rock, but he is crying his eyes out and he's crying through that dancing. That's what this song does to you. And I believe that is indicative of Mary's career. It's like pushing through the pain. Mm-hmm. Her whole career is about pushing through the pain, and the music reflects that. And Changes I've Been Going Through is a perfect example of how to do that. And again, a lot of people have tried to emulate that, but they get close, but not like that. So that's why that is one of my essential Mary J. Blige joints.
Oh, I have so many thoughts, but we have so much to cover. but we'll come back to it if we have time. Thank you for that. So my one of my essential Mary joints is You Don't Have to Worry, which was on the Who's the Man soundtrack. And it also appeared there. Yeah. And it appeared on her remixes album. And I feel like Mary was the first artist with a remixes album that I can recall. I don't remember a remixes album before her.
I think you're correct. I think that that's why it was such a big deal, because at that time you had to wait if a single, single was released and it had the remix on it, you would get it. But other than that, those things were like special to the DJs.
Exactly.
Yep. They were made specifically for, especially when you have someone like Mary, who had the key to both the R&B world and hip hop, and had the cosign of a lot of hip hop heavyweights. You had to make some things that were special for the DJs. Yeah. You had to make some hot for Flex to drop on Hot 97 on a Friday night. So, yeah.
Right. And so for me, this particular song is essential because I feel like it is just an ideal marriage of a hip hop sensibility with R&B. I know I've said that a lot, but I do think this song encapsulates that moment really well. So you get the James Brown sample. You have Mary singing over it. Once again, shout out to Kenny Green. Again, rest in peace to Kenny Green.
Rest in peace.
For writing these beautiful lyrics, which were also part heartache, part like this woman saying, "No, I'ma hold you down." It's quintessential Mary in terms of, you know, fighting to keep a love with her. And it was included, once again, like I said, on that soundtrack, but also became like an original song on a remix album in between projects. So this is one of them joints. It doesn't get played a whole lot. And I feel like folks should definitely know this joint because it is a dope Mary song from her early career. So thank y'all.
Can I ask the panel a question? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
What's your favorite Mary era? What is your favorite Mary era? I mean, from the music to the look.
Oh, so I have a thing. So my favorite. So I have to do it as a package, I guess.
And if you in the chat, our folks at home online, please let us know what's your favorite Mary era as well. Drop it in the chat so you can help us out.
I'll go ahead and
say I love the My Life era. There was something about the whole Misa did her thing. Mm-hmm. Like it was a young woman coming into her adulthood, but still fly, you know, still with one foot in the hood, but she was, you know, she's being introduced to steak and lobster, and it's like, okay, this is nice, you know, kind of thing. But it's still pretty, still adorable, still gritty, and the music was on point. And I know My Life is like a cornerstone for a lot of people, so I'll give that my era, my favorite era.
Sometimes I feel like I am going against the stands of Mary because I think it's because of the age I was when the album came out, but the My Life album did not hit for me the way that it seems to hit for her fans. Like, I understand why it is crucial. I understand why it hits for a lot of people, but for me at that age, the songs that I took that are my favorite songs from that album is like Happy, You Bring Me Joy. Like, I love when Mary is like, yeah, she's going through it, but she still has some positivity. Like, I think I said with you, Ray J, it's like, she's singing and she's still singing like she's Seeley when she's really Shug Avery. You know what I mean? So I love when, so any era of Mary J. Blige, like, I love when she just steps out knowing that she is the shit. Knowing that she is the stuff, you know? And so I'm going to say, Share My World, just how she is with those pictures, like the sepia tones, you know, like she is really getting into, like, you know, this is a, and I think that's also after she had really, you know, cut ties with with Casey, and so she was almost like a mafia, you know, a mafia don, and I was like, yes, right, you better own that, you know, you better own that.
Okay.
Shout out to Trey and Ronnie Love. We see you. Thank you for that.
So my favorite, this is so hard, but I think I'm selecting the Breakthrough as my favorite Mary era. She, by then, that fashion was together, like that album hit. I was like, oh, these songs is giving me a little bit, you know what I mean? I thought the videos were great. So I, of all the eras, now I will say that I'm a bigger fan of the catalog previous to that musically. But if I were to say like the package came together, I felt like the Breakthrough was like, oh yeah, all of this, all of this that she's giving, I want. So yeah, that's my era.
The braided bun did something for
you. The braided bun, you know, she looked flawless, like that. That first, you know, that first video. I mean, Be Without You is, you know, we'll get to me talking about that. But what's that first joint that Rodney Jerkins did? I can't remember the name of it now. But don't wanna play house no more. So you go marry. That joint was like
enough crying.
And she rapped in it, and I was like,
Brooklyn. Yes, you were introduced to Brooklyn. You were introduced to her out from Rap Alter Ego, Brooklyn.
Absolutely.
By the way,
didn't that song come after there was a track that she had on that album with the Nina Simone sample? That she used a Nina Simone sample on
Someone to Love Me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, so yeah, that era right there. So thank you for that question, Sir Daniel. We have to post pictures from our favorite Mary eras. Mm-hmm. So, okay, panel. So I'm going to come back. If we could please pull, if y'all could pull our favorite images from that era, we'll put them on our social medias. So yeah. So, okay. Continuing on. What do we think is Mary's appeal? Why do we gravitate to her?
Define the we. Are we talking as like Black folks? Are we talking all together? Like, what's the we?
I only used we because I think all of us will have a different opinion. I really mean us as individuals for the most part. Okay. But if you want to sprinkle in what you know other people have said too, I think that's fine. So I mean we okay. as in the single, like you, but also the collective we. I think you can package it.
Got it. Well, I think she appeals because, you know, she wasn't a balladeer, right? She wasn't presented as sort of this person on a pedestal that you are meant to praise, revere, because they're doing things that you can't do. She was one of us. She was one of a lot of people that was like, no, I also can claim Shaka. I also can claim Aretha. I also, you hearing that music, you know that she was raised in a household that was playing, you know, Smokey Robinson on the weekends as they're cleaning the house, or the Temptations, and how she can then, with the songwriting, with her sister and the productions, et cetera, she can make that modern in the era in which it was produced. And so I don't want to put her in the same sentence, but it's almost like Ashanti, right? Like people gravitated towards her because they could sing along with her mm-hmm. and not sound yeah. so off the notes, because she was already off the notes, right? So I think that's what Mary was. Mary was like, oh, she's at everybody's cookout. We all knew a Mary J. Blige. And sometimes we were a Mary J. Blige if we had, you know, a trifling... no good, whatever. I can't say those words because we on YouTube, you know? So you know what I mean.
For me, I think it is that there's an honesty in her voice that doesn't sound manufactured. So I think when we talk about Reminisce, right? As Adrian, going back to your first song, hearing that come through, there was a resonance in that tone that I couldn't put a finger on, and I still can't, but it's like, that sounds honest. And I think that has resonated with folks. Now, I think they have, over the course of her career, right, definitely spun it through on purpose, right? I think some of it is, of course, part of her life and her experience, but also I think some of it is like, okay, how can we use it? But I think initially her appeal was definitely, it felt really honest. And to your earlier point, I think both you and Sir Daniel said, Adrian, she looked like people we knew. And I think that was part of the appeal too, where it didn't feel like it was something that you couldn't be. I think Mary showed, at least from my perspective, showed that there was possibility. You didn't have to sound perfect to sound good. Because I think those songs sounded good, even though you might be like, that sweet thing. Like, that's not quite it, but I like it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What about you, Sir Daniel?
So, ditto to everything both of you have said. I think her appeal, we have to give props to the Bad Boy machine. Well, not even the bad, because it wasn't even Bad Boy yet. We have to give props to the Diddy machine when it was a Puffy machine. Mm-hmm. And because it was just the zeitgeist of the correct moment in time that a young woman represented Generation X, and that angst that we were feeling coming out of the crack era, you know, we're kids of hip hop, we're products of hip hop. We come out of the crack era. We have the 90s ahead of us, and there's this, she represented that hope of the 90s and the new century that was ahead of us. And so we identified with that. We identified, yes, Marcus, that a lack of that non-image of perfection, because we could commiserate with that. We could identify with that because we were all kind of going through something, going through those growing pains. And that's coming from somebody who is, you know, of that age group. And again, she just, I think the plain Jane-ness with a little elevated, you know, hair and makeup every now and then gave you, like Adrian said, gave it something that you could relate to, but something to aspire to at the same time. And it was just marketed perfectly. It was just the right place at the right time, the right person. I do believe she's a comet. You know, I'm not going to make any other comparisons, but she is definitely a comet. She definitely came through at the right time in the right place. And was for better or for worse, was guided by the right person at the time.
You know what? I want to pick up on that because Mary is so interesting because there were a lot of women who sang better than her, who had a similar kind of, who had a similar thing. Mary beat the odds. they were not necessarily going to go for her first because there was so many other people that they were trying to push at the same time. And it was like, nope, her.
And Mary was fighting against Mary. If we're going to keep it a buck, Mary was not industry ready.
No.
Mary was very much rough around the edges, you know. I'm sure we all saw the documentary. Yeah. She looked back at some of those interviews. She was like, "Oh, I was being nasty that day.
We knew she was rough around the edges, right? We knew, like, when I saw Mary J. Blige, and then I think I forgot who said it, talking about the plain Jane-ness of Mary. I never thought she was plain Jane, right? Like, Mary was, you know, I was in Topeka, Kansas. People were like, that's country. It wasn't. Mary, everybody was wearing that hairstyle, the mushroom, the different levels. You know, Mary was that person. Like, Mary could walk into a room and you're just like, I am scared of her. I am intrigued by her. And I also love her. And then when she opened up her mouth, you're just like, okay, let me just take a seat. Please sing whatever you need to sing. Sing that heartache. It's almost as though, like, they're like, what key is she on? Pain. She's in the key of pain right now. And I think it's just that generation, there was, you know, a group of people, especially Black women, that needed that. They needed to see Mary. You know, I can see her from, you know, a gay male perspective, but I can't even touch on what it probably meant for young Black women with thick thighs, Black women that didn't have that big of a chest, Black women that weren't looking like the few Black women on the runway, but they were looking like their aunts, their cousins, their girlfriends, the Tamikas and Shamikas in their life, you know? And her sound was also so mature, even though she was, 19 when that album came out. So you have to think, like, she was only a couple of years older than what Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera were when they came out. She was only a year older than Foxy Brown when Foxy Brown's first album came out. But yet her sound was like, oh, you have been here. You know what they call old soul, like, oh, honey, you have been here. And so older adults, like 30s, 40s, were listening to Mary. Like, she was, they had basically christened her as, like, you are the voice of this here flock, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Jerry, I think this is a great time for us to go back to the chalkboard.
We're back at the chalkboard. So we are going back to, and hold on, my system is going to catch up with me so that I can bring up the next images. Hold, here we are. So Adrian, we're going to go back to you and your next pick.
Yes, missing you. Share my world. And again, I know I said that, I'm not about pain, but this song, like, I'm not in love. It's just some kind of thing I'm going through. I was like, talk to me, Mary, you know, and she didn't write the song. It's one of the songs that she actually didn't write. Babyface wrote the song. Babyface master. We need to have a conversation about him. But it was also, I miss you. Like, it was, I guess, what people call sad, but there was something uplifting. There was still something that didn't bring me down into the cotton fields, you know? That is something that you hear Sunday when we had a break from the fields. And I loved it, especially after the My Life and the darkness around My Life. But yes, Missing You was my song.
Ooh, that is a dope song. And so my next, so this is where the overlap happened, Sir Diddy.
Okay.
So I picked the Reminisce remix with CL Smooth because why not? It's kind of, I think, unofficially called the Bad Boy remix, but it's the Reminisce remix. Anyway, look it up. It's amazing. There it is right there up there. There. I see it. I see the cover. Listen, that joint right there, one, taking the original Reminisce and then just layering into it this dope hip hop, you know what I'm saying, production on top of it. It was great. It showed possibilities. You got CL Smooth at peak CL Smooth on it. It's real New York. And it's a dope track, and it is an essential Mary joint. So if you don't know it, look it up. And Sir Daniel.
Okay, so we're heading into the same thing. I love you. There's a sadness that to her vocals each and every time, but it pushes through these breakbeats. And again, we have a track that Smith & Wesson, the I Shine, You Shine joint that Smith & Wesson rapped over. And then Mary comes along and does a remix over it, and it just has the same impact. And then you have Smith & Wesson on it. So, you know, the hood, Brooklyn is like...
Click.
Brooklyn is like, boop, 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 you know, busting shots along with it, so you can't lose. And it's just, it's inspirational. It's, it's romantic at the same way in this. Thank you, Keys. Exactly. It's inspirational and romantic in a very hood kind of way. And that's what Mary J. Blige is best at. And I must say, Adrian, Missing You takes me to church. It actually takes me to church, and it puts me in mind of like a Patti LaBelle's You Are My Friend. I kind of group those two together, that same sentiment. It's very, very, they're cousins to me, in my opinion. But yes, I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Excellent, excellent.
Ooh, okay. So one more, our final Mary topic, right, is... So Mary has had a tremendous career. She's being honored. She's been honored in many ways. I do think like this Icon Award is also one, just being getting an award as an icon is a thing, right? But she's always been an icon for us. But there's a lot I think that folks can learn. So I wanted to ask us from our perspective, what can current folks learn from Mary's career? Thoughts?
Well, I think one of the good things they can learn is the vulnerability, you know, and to really be an artist, you need to be yourself. You need to find how you can be yourself in whatever machine that is cranking you out. I find that a lot of artists now, they just don't stand out. They don't stick out at all. Like, she created her own lane. She's the queen of hip hop soul. You cannot debate that. You cannot argue that she is the queen of hip hop soul. She helped that era, just like, you know, Erykah Badu is the queen of neo soul. Absolutely. You know, create your lane. But I also think that one thing that people can learn from her that I found to be a mistake is she needs to learn how to get out of her own way. And she needs to learn how to adapt her sound to this new era of Mary. Like, okay, are you still going through heartache? You're still going through pain? Okay. Like, and also, like, choose songwriters. You don't have to just write almost every song with your sister. You know, there's a better way to say it. And I hope, you know, like, I would love to hear a jazz album from Mary. I would love to hear, you know, like, why can't she sing with Tony Bennett? Or why can't she have an album with Stevie Wonder? Why can't she have, you know, these crossover albums? I think if she starts doing that, as opposed to still singing, you know, these songs and trying to get with the, you know, the youngest rapper or whatever on her album, I think that she will, I'm not saying that she's not relevant, but she'll be relevant again in that sense.
The lesson what today's artists can learn from Mary J. Blige. I think Adrian hit the nail on the head is about the authenticity of remaining pure, remaining true to yourself. But there were some stumbles. There were some, I think what Mary has done well throughout her matriculation through the industry is that whoever on her team, they have picked the right projects for her to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Having that team, aligning yourself with people who believe in you is paramount to surviving in this industry. And she's been able to do that. I don't know. You could tell. You could just look at the growth. If you put it on a chart, you put it through one of those machines, one of those programs that'll show you like a flow chart of her career. You could definitely see the specific moments that were curated for her career. And the fact that don't be afraid. I think this, to Adrian's point earlier, don't be afraid to be away for a minute. Like if you are truly good, make people miss you. Make people wonder what the next era is going to be like. Why do you think people are still holding on, for Beyoncé's next project or hoping she's going to release a DVD from a tour from 10 years ago? Because she's taking her time with every single project. Same thing with Mary. Same thing, Sade can be away for 20 years, come back, and people are still foaming at the mouth for that. That is a lesson that the dolls can teach the younger generation. It's like everything just doesn't have to be churned out. We don't need everything microwaved. You can put it in a crock pot. Don't be afraid to wait. Don't be afraid to let the industry miss you for a minute. If you're good, people are going to want to hear from you again. And that's a key message, a key lesson that they can learn from Mary J. Blige.
Absolutely.
I agree. And I'm going to bring in this from Michael Ward, and then I will mention Michael, number one, did a really dope Mary video for CMPTV. We will put that over in the description as well. But Michael said, these younger artists can learn about touring and crafting a live show that engages the audience. We know that Mary does that very well. She pulls the people right in, which is interesting, which is all, this goes into my point.
Mm-hmm.
Embracing, working at your craft. Mary has gotten better. I saw Mary on the same tour Adria saw Mary on. And it was like, all right, sure. We believed in her, right? But it wasn't, there were some challenges, and watching her grow into this has been amazing. Watching her begin to take acting seriously. She talked about when she was doing Mudbone and how she couldn't be Mary for this character, right? Because she had been playing Mary J. Blige for so long that I couldn't have no lashes, I couldn't have makeup, I couldn't do any of those things. And she was, but she leaned into it. And now look, it's given her a whole other career. That gave her an award nomination. Now she's acting.
It did give her an award nomination.
So I'm feeling, I continue to learn and evolve and just try and get better at your craft, whatever that means, but just don't stop. And Mary J. Blige is the a North Star that folks can look to for artists that didn't give up, even when they wanted to,
right?
Because we know those moments when she wanted to, she wrote about them, but she didn't give up.
And she also came a long way from Prison Song. You remember that movie?
Oh, that's Q-tip. Right.
Ooh. Yes, yes, yeah. That was
you went.
That
there,
was Struggle Bus. Yeah, I was. Well, listen, I know the deep cuts.
The deep. That got, is a deep cut.
Yeah, she definitely got better in Mudbound, right?
Yes,
I said Mudbone, Mudbound.
Now, are we wrapping up? Because I have a question.
You can ask a question. Then we're going to do our final. We're going to do our final picks. What's your question for the?
Oh no, I'll ask my question after the final picks.
Okay. Question after the final picks. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go back to the chalkboard for our final picks. And Adrian, we're going to go to you.
So I chose I Found My Everything from the breakthrough album written by Raphael Sadiq. And if you notice, my three essential songs from Mary are songs that she did not write. You know, Reminisce was written by MC Light. A couple of other people, Missing You, Babyface, and I Found My Everything, Raphael Sadiq. I just love when other artists that she works with like gets her to sort of sing outside of her comfort. Like even that fourth album that she worked a lot with Lauryn Hill on, you know, All That I Can Say. I Found My Everything. I mean, The Breakthrough is a great album. And oftentimes when you... so many tracks, when you get to track like 8 or 9 or 10, you know, some of them are throwaways, but I was listening to this. And when the instrumentals came in and just that vibe and that feeling, like I love Mary when she is singing. It was modern, but also nostalgic. And that is just a very happy song. And I love Mary Happy.
And I'm also from The Breakthrough. My other essential Mary joint is Be Without You. I loved this when I first heard it. And I didn't expect that, right? I was happy. And it made sense that they would release it as a single. But Be Without You is classic Mary. I think it's a love song, but it's not, I don't think it's steeped in heartache as much as it's steeped in wanting this person to know that she would be there for them and support them in whatever. So Be Without You is a beautiful, beautiful song. I will probably play it after this show because I love that joint.
It was a monster radio song.
Oh, my
too.
God. Oh my
it
went God. Crazy for her.
Radio ate it up. All right, so Be Happy. Now, if I'm sure you guys have seen a couple of my picks are remixes. Mm-hmm. Listen, I am a DJ at heart. I'm a whore for remixes. I absolutely love when people take Mary and especially songs that were mid-tempos or meant to be something completely different. I think we mentioned it in an earlier part of the show about how she was one of the first artists to come out with a remix album. And remixes, when done correctly, kids, remixes that can actually take a song and turn it into a completely different song, not just throwing on 10 different rappers on the same beat. That's not a remix. A remix can take an original song and give it a completely life. And Be Happy with Keith Murray on the rap and, you know, Mary singing over the Dollar Dollar Bill Y'all beat. It just makes me happy. I love it. It's something super easy to blend into a set. And it just, everybody can sing along with it. So that's what makes that an essential Mary J. Blige joint to me. I'm so glad we put this list together because... we're lucky Adrian put together a playlist for you all. So by the time this show airs, by the time it airs, it's airing now. But by the time it gets posted, the playlist for your listening pleasure will be available. And it is crazy. I can tell you that right now. Yes. And I can't wait to hear this question that you have, Adrian.
Yes, well, thank you for having me. And even the songs that, as we were talking, some songs that you had on your 9 Essentials, they are also added to the Mary J. Blige playlist.
Nice.
She's good for a remix. She is wonderful for a remix, especially an underground remix. I remember, 50 Cent in the club, and there was like this underground remix with Beyonce's version and then Mary J. Blige's version. I remember going to the club in the warehouse in the South Bronx and just getting all of my life. So I know we've talked about Mary J. Blige and the fusion of hip hop, but Mary, when we talk about hip hop, like, she's been on some very iconic rap albums, right? So we have, she was one of two or three guest appearances on The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. She was on Kendrick Lamar's first studio album, Jay-Z's first album. And if you think of a lot of like rap songs with hooks, etc., Mary is there, you know, like even she has a song with Nas. She has a song with Method Man, Lil' Kim, you know, iconic. So with that being said, what is your favorite Mary J. Blige duet or like feature song?
Go ahead, Jerry.
I don't mind. It's Mary and Meth. I think that's gonna be it for you. You're All I Need to Get By.
Oh, okay. I thought she was going to say Love It First.
No, sight. I almost, it's so funny. I thought, okay, pause. I go up in the club for Love At First Sight. That beat is so hard. Like, that joint go, Mary Davis, you know, she dragging that, she, listen. But no, the first collaboration with Method Man, I think is my favorite Mary duet. They both is just real New York. It's real hard. I still go up for that joint. And the original version, not the remix. So
that's not the remix.
Yeah, not
the
really.
Remix. I feel like I recently watched that video and I was like, I can see where Power got their inspiration from. And now aren't they both on like a spinoff of Power on Stars?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm going to reach back to a not lesser known, but not as celebrated, and it should be. But one of my favorite joints, duets with Mary, is Mary and Grand Pooba, Check It Out, from his album.
That was dope.
Because you got the It Preached the President beat, and he's rapping, he's doing what Grand Pooba does best, and Mary is flowing her way in there. And, you know, we got a taste of Mary and Grand Pooba on What's the 411, which I think we could safely say we were kind of blown away when we heard her say, yeah, what makes you think better than the next nigga singing last week and you couldn't even speak?
You wouldn't even speak.
We weren't ready.
Me with some chit chat. You pulled last week with Pam. I'm not having that.
So we got a taste of it, and then we get her on Pooba's album, and it's just like, that was like a dope. What still sold it for me was the performance on Yo MTV Raps, when she's got the cross color joint off the shoulder and the hat. And, you know, she's giving straight B-girl, but flowing along with the performance. That's my favorite duet of Mary J. Blige.
Mary J. Blige. Well, I went through my, there was a lot, right? I could have said The One with U2. I could have said 9-1-1 with Wyclef Jean. And there was one duet that I was very much looking forward to that actually is her worst duet. And that is on the first round of release of Faith's first album, where there was a song, Love Don't Live Here Anymore, that duet with Faith and Mary. That was a hot mess. It was the precursor for the hot mess duet that came many years after with Fantasia and Jennifer Hudson, At Me If You Want. And it's, you know, you look at the album, it's no longer there. Like, it's almost been erased from the internet. But my favorite duet is going to be on The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
No, that's Mary.
No, now I don't. I like, I used to, like,
I used to love him.
Now I don't. And I, yes, I.
That's great.
I mean, Mary and Lauren, I just, that was just perfect, especially for that album.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. So. This has been amazing. Adrian. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on over. Thank you. Take one. Let's go a step further. Thank you for supporting Q Points. You listen to us and we really appreciate you. And so thank you for being a listener and thank you for being willing to come to the show.
Oh, my goodness. Now, thank you for just creating, both of you, Sir Daniel, J. Ray, for creating this wonderful podcast. I find myself walking around the lake here in Oakland, listening to the podcast and like taking notes. Like I have a lot of notes about the Janet Jackson. And like, I'm always just like pausing and it's like, and I will text, you know, I will text J. Ray, be like, or I'll talk to him, be like, okay, now y'all said this. And where was this? Y'all said she was a great vocalist and I ain't hear it. I missed that album. I love her. I love her. Absolutely beautiful gowns. No, not beautiful gowns. I really love her. But no, I just want to thank you so much, both of you, and especially as a newbie podcaster, listening to your podcast has really helped, you know, be like a blueprint of you what things can be. And so I want to thank you. I want to thank everyone who is tuning in, who's also either video live right now or when you hear it. Just thank you for providing a space for these two wonderful people to continue making this podcast and creating this wonderful dialogue and art.
Wow.
I appreciate that wholeheartedly. You know, what you do is also a continuation of what we're doing, and that is making a place for this, for the culture that we discussed at the top of the show, is that we can't let these recipes go away. We have to have a space to archive these feelings that we felt and celebrations of the art that has been created over these centuries for us. And we have to be stewards of what has been given, good stewards of what has been given to us. And you've contributed to this culture too yourself. So don't think we don't know. You have made your contributions and we recognize that. And we're very grateful that you made time to be on the show with us. And I see great things for you in the future. And we can't wait to be on your show.
Oh, and I want you. We are going to have an interlude. We will do an interlude. We will talk about, I will have you on. We will talk about a lot of things. And we all will continue to make contributions to society, to our people, as we all do in our individual lives. As long as we keep listening to the music, it'll stay alive.
Absolutely.
So, and keep J-Ray, talking about the music.
Keep talking about the music. And so as we wrap up, I want to give a shout out to everybody that Rocksteady. I had a surreal moment this past Sunday at Rocksteady meeting Robert Glasper's brother. I just out of nowhere was like, you know that song you just played? That's my brother's song. And I was like, whatever, get out of here. Nah, that was him. And so that was an experience. And shout out to Fitz. Fitz 360. I'm super proud of that brother. And if you are in Atlanta, please go check out that gym. It was a wonderful grand opening. I had a great time spending for the grand opening. And this week, ladies and gentlemen, Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, please come join me for another edition of Sugar Honey on the Rocks. This particular episode is about voice and choice. The ladies are going to be speaking through their music to address a lot of stuff that is happening today. And it's going to be another 90s swing because I know the folks love that and I love spinning vinyl. So please just, you know, come join me on Mixcloud. The link is in the chat. Mixcloud.com/TheSirDanielJRay. Got anything coming up, sir?
Oh my goodness. Always things coming up. But no, really, it's I want to make sure that folks definitely pop over and listen to Adrian's playlist of conversations. So if you go over to adriansplaylist.com and you can see, you can look at all the places where you can listen to the show. And yeah, no, I want people to definitely support that. And definitely and
follow him on the Instagrams,
on the Instagrams, the social hippie and Adrian's playlist and all of that.
Talk to me. Talk to me. Yeah. This week's episode was about forgiveness. But last week, so I do a conversation every Wednesday, and then Friday I do a music episode that's attached to the conversation. So last week I discussed my top three most influential songs, and there's a great playlist on Spotify. And tomorrow, the episode, we talk about songs that connect us to forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love it.
So
love
definitely it. Stay yeah. up for that. And we'll make sure that for all of you, the playlist that Adrian has done for Mary is in the description. And of course, the link so that you can follow Adrian's playlist as well as Adrian will be in the description as well. So listen. Make sure that you are subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts, and you can also leave us a review and a rating over there. Make sure that you leave us a rating and review on Podchaser. I know we say this every week, but it is true. If you leave us a rating and review there, it really helps us to spread the word about the show because it hits in so many different areas. If you Google us now and you see a star rating, that's because somebody left it on Podchaser. So it really does make a difference. And make sure if you are anywhere else but YouTube, subscribe, go on over to YouTube and subscribe to us. And if you're watching us on YouTube and you're not subscribed, you need to hit the subscribe button and the bell.
Sounds like a plan. J. Ray, what do I say every week? In this life, you have a choice. You can either pick the needle up or you can let the record play. I am DJ Sir Daniel.
I'm J. Ray. And that person there is Adrian.
Adrian.
I'm Adrian.
And this has been Q Points. We thank you for joining us. Please come back next week. Be safe.
Peace.